Well, I've got some more thoughts on the massacre in Newtown, from Mike Huckabee's comments to the pain of God to the gun control debate.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, we are going to have a very fruitful discussion today, one that I trust will encourage you, help you, strengthen you in the Lord, as well as allow us to think some issues through together. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us on this Monday, December 17th of the year 2012. I don't normally give out dates, but it was December 17th of 1971 that I surrendered to the Lord. I knew the conviction of the Spirit. I knew that Jesus had died for my sins and risen from the dead. But I was struggling with my addiction to the needle, with loving drugs, and in particular, not being able to say, I'll never put a needle in my arm again, which I knew God was requiring. That's the night in the presence of the joy of the Lord, without a struggle at all. I said, Lord, I'll never put a needle in my arm again, and by His grace, been free from that day on, of course, from all drugs just a few days after that. So, thanks for joining us on this December 17th, 2012. Here's the number to call, 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. I don't know if you watched the service last night, the interfaith service where President Obama spoke as well in Newtown, Connecticut. I want to talk about that. I want to talk about Governor Mike Huckabee's comments that have gotten a lot of flack in terms of the reason that America finds itself in the place that it does today, to the point that there could be such horrific, mind-numbing tragedies as took place in Newtown, Connecticut on Friday. I want to share a little bit of my article with you that I wrote on God's pain, something that we don't often talk about or think about, but it's very relevant. I'll share that with you. And then we'll discuss the issue of gun control. We will discuss the issue of gun control. We will allow the debate to take place on the air today. And I want to say this. We're going to get into this as honestly and candidly as we can, and in the most constructive way. I am not a member of the National Rifle Association. I don't own a gun. I don't plan on owning a gun. My conservatism is not primarily a political conservatism, but a biblically based conservatism. In other words, I am a conservative in my morals and mindset because of Scripture, because of how I understand God wants me to live. I do not necessarily espouse everything that is conservative in the political world. So I am not here to primarily argue a position as much as to facilitate a discussion. Fair enough? Just so you know where I'm coming from when we get into the debate about gun control. But before I go any further, I was struck last night, Nancy and I were both struck, watching the interfaith service and people doing the best they knew how to do. If they don't know the Lord personally and they're praying to whomever is out there kind of thing, you can't expect people to do better than they did. They were trying in the midst of their lost spirituality, and some seem to know the Lord and connect better. And our president, I can't imagine the trauma of what he went through meeting with all the families before the event. And certainly his speech, he did the best he knew how to do in those difficult situations. Nancy and I were both wondering, though, where is the Billy Graham of the hour? And I spoke at the Billy Graham chapel service again this morning, my third time in the last 2 months, to the staff at the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association this morning, and asked that same question. Where is the voice of a man of God thundering out a message of hope in the midst of the despair? It was missing, wasn't it?
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire today, 866-348-7884. Please, when you get a moment, go to my website, AskDrBrown.org, click on The Line of Fire, and we've got a bunch of articles linked to today's show that are relevant, some having to do with a spiritual perspective on the tragedy in Newtown, Connecticut, others having to do with the issue of gun control. And I'll be getting to this discussion with you about gun control, that debate, momentarily. So feel free to call in if you have something you'd like to share on that already, because I'll be getting to calls in a little while. I wrote an article yesterday afternoon. I gave it some prayerful thought over a period of time before I wrote. Then I sent it to Nancy and asked her for her input, and she shared that she felt fine about it. We just changed one line to be more clear and sent it out. I want to share some of this with you. It's called The Newtown Massacre and the Pain of God. In the aftermath of the Newtown Massacre, as family members and friends of the slain and wounded suffer unspeakable agony, people around the world are asking, where was God? Very few are asking, is God hurting too? According to Basilea Schlenk, who lived from 1904 to 2001, German Christian leader who stood up to the Nazis, quote, anyone who loves as much as God does cannot help suffering. And anyone who really loves God will sense that he is suffering. She found support for this view in the writings of the Japanese Lutheran theologian Kazuo Kitamori in his book, Theology of the Pain of God. God suffering? God in pain? How can this be? If he's the almighty creator and ruler, and if he has infinite knowledge of the future, why would he even create a world in which there would be so much suffering and pain on a daily basis? And if the scripture is true that not even a sparrow falls to the ground without the knowledge or care of the Heavenly Father, Matthew 10:29, how could he allow 20 innocent children, not to mention the adults, be cut down in cold blood? And friends, think of what God witnesses every day, what he's aware of every day, the horrific suffering being inflicted by human being on other human beings, and then the fruit of sin and the destruction that comes with it in this world. Yes, in God's presence is fullness of joy. There's no question. Scripture says that. Hebrews 12 paints a picture of joyful assembly of angels in his presence. But I believe there's also grief and pain in heaven, that it's not just a matter of perfect joy. Paul said of himself that he was sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. I believe in many ways that reflects the heart of God. Listen to this quote again by Basilea Schlenk. Anyone who loves as much as God does cannot help suffering. And anyone who really loves God will sense that he is suffering. All of the children that were killed in the massacre were 6 or 7 years old. Our youngest granddaughter is 6. Kids at 6 can't even distinguish sometimes between reality and fantasy, as you know, as parents or grandparents. And, you know, playing with a toy dog can be just as special to them as having a pet dog. They can live in that little world of fantasy. To think that these were the ones slaughtered is all the more mind-boggling. The pain that the parents and families are experiencing now is mind-boggling. I can't relate to it. Having never suffered a loss like that, you don't even want to think of what it would feel like to suffer a loss like that. How does God feel? Is he indifferent to this? You say, well, what's he done about it? Well, he created a world. He created a world giving us freedom of choice and knowing what the consequences of those choices would be, but knowing that love cannot be coerced, that ultimately the only way there could be a family with him forever that loved him was if there was a family that freely chose to love him and be with him forever. And as a consequence of that, horrific suffering would come into this world, As a consequence of that, God would have to send his son into the world to die for our sins. You say, well, why would God create a world in which it would cost everyone so much pain and cost him so much pain? Once we ask the question in those terms, then we're closer to getting an answer. You see, if God was some distant bystander, if not for the cross, if God was some distant bystander, we could wonder about it. But when we realize it costs him pain as well, then we have to understand that his love is at work for something beautiful that will come out of this. Pastor Timothy Keller in New York said this: if we again ask the question, why does God allow evil and suffering to continue? And we look at the cross of Jesus, we still do not know what the answer is. However, we know what the answer isn't. It can't be that he doesn't love us. It can't be that he is indifferent or detached from our condition. God takes our misery and suffering so seriously that he was willing to take it on himself. And that's why Anglican leader John Stott stated, I could never myself believe in God if it were not for the cross. If you want to read that article in full, just go again to my website, askdrbrown.org. Click on the line of fire. We've got links there. Or if you want to go straight to charismanews.com, just click on opinion. You'll be able to read that and a number of other relevant stories. charismanews.com, click on opinion. And I'll share more of this article with you as the show unfolds. Okay, to Mike Huckabee's comments. Governor Huckabee made statements about how can we blame God when we have removed him from our schools and our society. He's gotten a lot of flack for making those comments. On the personal level, I mean, you have to think of it like this, that people live without God. They live sinful lives. They live however they want to live. God, I don't want you. I don't want your standards. I don't believe in you. Then calamity happens, and they say, God, where were you? Well, God does not have a contractual obligation to bail us out of our own sinful choices whenever we have a need. And as much as human beings tend to look at him like that, I'm going to live how I want. I'm going to do what I want. I'm going to feed the flesh and satisfy the flesh, and then something bad happens. Oh, God, where were you? How'd you let this happen? Well, obviously, he's not to blame. Mike Huckabee is making this statement on a larger society level. This is what he had to say.
On Friday, Neil Cavuto asked me, where was God? And I said that for 50 years, we've systematically attempted to have God removed from our schools, our public activities. But then at the moment we have a calamity, we wonder where he was. Well, the predictable left lit up the airwaves and blogosphere with a vile and vicious reaction and jumped to the conclusion that I said that if we had prayer in school, the shooting wouldn't have happened. Well, I said nothing of the sort. It's far more than just taking prayer or Bible reading out of the schools. It's the fact that people sue a city so we aren't confronted with a manger scene or a Christmas carol. That lawsuits are filed to remove a cross that's a memorial to fallen soldiers. Churches and Christian-owned businesses are told to surrender their values under the edict of government orders to provide tax-funded abortion pills. We carefully and intentionally stop saying things are sinful, and we call them disorders. Sometimes we even say they're normal. And to get to where that we have to abandon bedrock moral truths, then we are asked, well, where was God? And I respond that, as I see it, we've escorted him right out of our culture and we've marched him off the public square. And then we express our surprise that a culture without him actually reflects what it's become.
I very much agree with what Mike Huckabee had to say. Do you agree? 866-348-7884. Before we move to our debate and discussion of gun control, which is ever before us these days, I want to read a few things that my colleague Bill Muhlenberg in Australia said. You see, we have pounded into our heads the idea that there is no God, talking about in the West, that there are no moral absolutes, that everything is relative in a matter of personal taste, that we are all just here as an accident of evolutionary processes, which, to quote Richard Dawkins, quote, at bottom, shows no design, no purpose, no evil, and no good, nothing but blind, pitiless indifference, end quote. We're here by accident with no discernible purpose, and we will eventually disappear with no rhyme or reason for our existence, or so we are told. We have pumped into our kids' souls mindless, numbing entertainment, saturated in violence and bloodshed. Our movies, our music, Our TV shows, our video and computer games are all soaked red in gore and extreme violence. Indeed, the leftist Hollywood and cultural elites are getting rich from such offerings, all the while sanctimoniously deploring a culture of gun violence. We've told our kids that morality is a thing of the past and that they must discover their own ethics and values. We have insisted that one can never judge another person's behavior or activity and what we must embrace any and all lifestyles and actions. We have insisted that all religious beliefs be banned from the public arena, that anyone who dares to stand for biblical truth must be denounced as a wowser, a bigot, and an intolerant twit imposing his morals on others. We glorify all things radical, immoral, and self-indulgent, while mocking and condemning any call to restraint, to prudence, to limits, to decency, and to godliness. And then we wonder why we find more and more of these people going around doing these things, which we just again witnessed in Connecticut. Very, very penetrating thoughts by Bill Muhlenberg. We come back, we're going to debate the issue of gun control.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on the Line of Fire broadcast as we continue to reflect constructively, redemptively on the horrible massacre last week in Newtown, Connecticut. 866-348-7884. I want to facilitate a discussion here. I do not have a particular axe to grind or point to make as much as wanted to facilitate a discussion about the issue of gun control. When the tragedy unfolded, I went to see what different ones had to say over the course of the day. And there was a link to comments made by Rush Limbaugh as the news was being reported that afternoon. He spoke of the horrific things that took place, the terrible evil of what took place, and then said it. He hates to say it, but he knows that this is immediately going to be made into a political issue about gun control. And, of course, within minutes, mayors were tweeting remarks about this. Legislators or elected congressmen were putting forth, yeah, we've got to do something. It's time. The growing petition against the NRA, National Rifle Association, and so on. And, of course, when you hear about the types of weapons people have, when you hear about the assault weapons that people have, you wonder, okay, is this what our founding fathers meant in the Second Amendment in terms of our right to bear arms? Others have pointed to the exact opposite and said that these atrocious crimes have taken place. Almost all of the mass shootings in recent years have taken place in gun-free zones, and that, in fact, in Connecticut, they had very strict gun control laws and so on. And of course, the guns did not belong to the shooter, but to his mother. And some, like columnist Doug Giles and Congressman Louis Gohmert, have said that it's a shame the teachers didn't have guns. My friend Ron Cantor, writing from Israel, says, well, the teachers don't have guns, but every school is protected, fenced in, and you have to get past a security guard and show ID to even get into the school. Is it the larger culture of violence that's the issue because we've had guns in our society for centuries? Is it the larger culture of violence so that the more and more young people are saturated with violent video games and violent movies, even to the point that actor Jamie Foxx, appearing in another violent movie, said we're somewhat to blame. We have to admit to that, Hollywood's somewhat to blame, so that you get an unstable person now and they're more likely to commit these atrocities? Or is it as simple as saying that if people didn't have access to guns, these things wouldn't happen? 866-34-TRUTH. I'm going to read some quotes. I've got an audio clip or two to play for you, but first, to the phones, beginning with Jonathan in Jefferson, New Jersey. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
How you doing, Michael?
Thank you for taking my call.
And I'd like to address this issue from a law enforcement position, because that's what I do for a living. The issue is not gun control in itself. If you took away all the guns of this country or even the world, you would still have violence against the fellow man. There isn't a law on the books that can change a person's heart. And that's what it comes down to, Michael. As you know, the heart is the issue. Once a man, and we are ourselves, apart from Christ, evil. Every single one of us has the potential to carry out heinous crimes because of our heart. So the condition, the position from a law enforcement position is that guns will not change. Law-abiding citizens are not to blame here who have guns. The people are to blame are the people who take out Christ from the schools, and more importantly, Christ even from the home. That's the problem from my position.
Now, what exactly do you do in law enforcement, Jonathan?
I'm a police officer.
All right. Does it trouble you that there are criminals who are armed better than you or who have assault weapons that are certainly not just someone's right to bear arms to protect themselves?
Well, I think, how would you define an assault weapon? I mean, a gun is a gun. You could do great bodily harm with a .22 rifle, which is nothing more than a short caliber rifle for shooting like squirrels or something.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not necessarily the gun in itself that's going to bring about the harm. It's the person's heart. And you can't change a person's heart by making laws. The vast majority of law-abiding citizens from a police officer position, I wish they would have guns. I'm not in fear of the law-abiding citizen carrying guns. They may even be able to help me, God forbid, if I was in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
So to take away guns is not going to solve this problem. It's just going to be a criminal's not going to abide by the law.
Right. So let me ask you one last question, Jonathan. And I'm asking, as I said from the start, not with an axe to grind in this, but to facilitate discussion and debate. Obviously, you talk with fellow officers. You hear about atrocities like this. You talk with one another. From your personal viewpoint, this is not a scientific survey, but from your personal viewpoint, is your view common among fellow police officers? Do you think that your view is the majority view among fellow police officers in terms of guns are not the issue, or do you think you're in the minority there?
I know this just from talking to my own guys and within the area, where the vast majority had the same view I do.
Got it.
The vast majority.
Listen, Jonathan, coming from someone in law enforcement in a place like New Jersey, New York, that means a lot. So I appreciate the call, sir, and may the Lord use you to shine as a light in the midst of your fellow officers and the society.
Thank you, brother.
All right, thank you. 866-34-TRUTH. We are just getting this conversation going. Andrew, let's just quickly play. No, we don't have time. Let's do it on the other side of the break. Some of you say, but I can't listen to the other side of the break. You can get the entire program, don't forget, by going to AskDrBrown.org, clicking on the line of fire. You can always listen live to any part you're missing there, or you can catch up later in the day. Yeah, Andrew, we had time, but then I couldn't say anything else. So we're going to play a clip from Congressman Louis Gohmert after the break. I want to read some comments from my friend Bishop Joe Matera in New York, I'll also read what Doug Giles had to say. New rule, all teachers should be required to carry guns. But as I said, I'm not here to argue either position. Most of the time we discuss something, have very, very strong views. This one, I want to facilitate debate more than anything. But friends, take advantage of a special resource package we put together. This is a time where we need to educate ourselves about the problem of suffering and be able to speak to our friends and family members. I had to talk to a 9-year-old grandson about these issues. He was curious to know about the shooter and different things. $15 postage paid. We want to send you my 2-hour debate with Professor Bart Ehrman on the Bible and the problem of suffering, and then a special audio message that you can listen to in your car on a CD on God and the problem of suffering. You'll find these tools tremendously helpful for yourself and for your friends. Call today to order 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Or go online, AskDrBrown.org, and click on the online bookstore. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. Our God will bring beauty out of ashes and life out of death.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, do you want to interact with atheists online? Non-believers, people who are skeptical of our views? Well, my article on the Newtown Massacre and the Pain of God is on townhall.com, which is a conservative political website, but one that allows me and others to, from time to time, post spiritually faith-based columns as well, although everything I write comes from that perspective ultimately. But if you go to townhall.com, my article will be on the home page through midnight. After that, it's archived. And I just glanced at some of the comments there, and there seemed to be a number from atheists. I think it'd be worthwhile if you want to learn from that and interact. 866-348-7884. There are statistics. British newspaper published this and said that so far this year there have been 94,388 people shot in the United States, that there's 300 million privately owned firearms in the United States. In contrast, it says 2008-2009, 39 people were killed by firearms in England and Wales over 12 months in 2008-2009, that 190 people were shot in the U.S. on Saturday alone, that 11 is the minimum age in Minnesota to be eligible for a firearms certificate, that 40% of gun purchases in the U.S. did not need background check, that 42 of the 50 states of the U.S. do not ban or regulate assault rifles, that then it goes on, 35 people were killed by firearms in Australia in a single year, 60 people were killed by firearms in Spain in a single year, 9,484 people were killed by firearms in U.S. in the same 12 months, and they're saying it is time for gun control. Many, many voices saying the very same thing, and others saying the opposite. No, we just need to secure our schools and arm people better. And if there had been armed people, say, in the movie theater in Aurora, Colorado, the mass killing there, if there had been people carrying concealed weapons, that the shooter may never have gone in there in the first place, that we've had weapons available in America for decades, for centuries in terms of our history, and that we haven't had these atrocities occurring on this level until we, in Mike Huckabee's words, escorted God from our culture. Let me grab one more call before we have to take a quick break. Rachel in Ronkonkoma on Long Island, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hi, how are you?
Doing very well, thank you.
Okay, my point of view is as a Christian and as mother to a young child. I feel that the best example of a Christian we've seen out of this has been Emily Parker's father, who extended grace and mercy.
Mm.
And I feel that is a shining example of how Jesus would want us to handle this. I don't feel like condemning people for asking where God was because, you know, society has chosen to take him out is the way to call people to Christ. I feel that's a way to push people further away from God's message, which is ultimately mercy and forgiveness.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you think, Rachel, that there could be different sides to this? In other words, just like the parts of a body, you have a hand and you have a foot and you have a mouth and each has a different function, that it's for a parent to extend mercy in the midst of their personal agony. It's for someone else, a national spokesman who's a Christian, to raise the larger issues of what our culture is doing. In other words, to call us to account in a more prophetic way. I think they both have their place, but on a personal level, ultimately, what we have to do is not be infected with bitterness and hatred ourselves. You're absolutely right about that, Rachel. All right, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. We'll be back.
Change the world.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire today. I strongly encourage you to read my article on the Newtown Massacre and the pain of God. It does deal as well, in short, with the problem of evil and the problem of suffering. And you can get links to that article and other articles I'm referring to today by going to askdrbrown.org and just clicking on the Line of Fire. 866-348-7884. Thomas Sowell says this: do countries with strong gun control laws have lower murder rates? Only if you cherry pick the data. Britain is a country with stronger gun control laws than the United States and lower murder rates. But Mexico, Russia, and Brazil are also countries with stronger gun control laws than the United States, and their murder rates are much higher than ours. Israel and Switzerland have even higher rates of gun ownership than the United States and much lower murder rates than ours. On the other hand, as my friend Ron Cantor points out, in Israel, it's not as easy to get guns in Israel that, say, when you go through the army, only those with the rank of captain or lieutenant colonel for at least 2 years can qualify to own a gun after the army. Of course, everyone has to serve in the army. That's why the rate of gun ownership can be higher. Those who do have guns are taught to guard them carefully. Ron mentions, he said, my wife's childhood friend Moti found out 2 decades ago that losing a weapon will get you a jail sentence. He left his gun in his car because he was just running into a mini mart. He came back and the gun was gone. He spent 6 months in jail. And that happened in Israel. Also, you have to go through more evaluation in order to get a gun. Ron says, I don't think that those who drafted the Second Amendment imagine that those who feel rejected at school or who were bullied would have access not merely to a musket that fires one bullet at a time before reloading, but to an arsenal of pistols, assault rifles, and more, such as in the case of James Holmes, the Joker who killed 12 people earlier this year during a screening of Batman. Ron says, I think the amendment was for people like Israelis who live in the West Bank and are under the threat of attack all the time. But he's, as he says, I'm far too ignorant concerning the gun control issue to give much of an educated opinion, but I don't like people using Israel as an example as we make it very difficult to own a gun. Different perspectives. I'm simply sharing these to facilitate further discussion. Back to the phones. Bob in Chelsea, Massachusetts. Yes. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Okay, I just want to say this is not the solution, but I just feel that I'd like to add this in because I believe that you're going to see, unfortunately, God forbid, more of this because some of it is from this pharmaceutical that they put children on, mind-altering drugs. There's drugs in water supplies, and I know this isn't the answer, but I really believe they put so many young children and teenagers, like a quick fix, some of them can't sit still or something. Next thing you know, they go in there and they get this SSI and you can get on these drugs. Mm. And these things are, my brother's wife committed suicide. She was a very, very straight, but she got on it, and I believe it was part of the reason why she committed suicide.
Mm.
And I know it's not the answer, but, you know, this is, I really believe there are so many young people, and, you know, I believe it's going to be more and more a factor, and I can't exactly tell you the answer, except you're going to, I hate to say it, you're going to see more of this stuff happen.
Yeah,
it's an opening for the devil to come in. It's an opening for demonic. It's rampant. I mean, they give out thousands and thousands of people in New York City in there, and they give them all these potions, you know, like the Bible says, pharmakai.
Right, and just to jump in, Bob, I don't want parents out there to feel condemned if their kid legitimately is on some type of prescription because of issues. But it is a question that I've wondered about. Why now are all of these issues surfacing that need to be medicated? Where were they a generation or two or three ago? Are kids growing up differently? Is there something in their nutrition that's causing this? Is it, you know, it makes you wonder. And I'm not saying in any critical way, but Bob, it's a point well taken. If we're just medicating people and not getting to root cause of issues, and if the medication or going off it is going to cause erratic, potentially violent behavior, we see more of this. The thing that's perhaps the most sickening to me is the thought that there are people out there who want to be more famous now than than Adam Lanza that wanted to be memorialized for their particular crimes. The question is, does the media play into this by focusing on the person? Look, if someone is sick enough to consider slaughtering people in cold blood, people they don't even know in cold blood, if they're sick enough, sinful enough to consider doing that, could they have that motivation of just wanting to be famous? I've heard a good number of killers say that's why they did it. The murderer of John Lennon said that there was this desire for fame or to be known. Others have said they're going to be memorialized through this. Does the media play into this by talking about the person endlessly? I'm not blaming the news for the murders. I'm simply asking questions in terms of our larger culture. 866-34-TRUTH. Michael in Brooklyn, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Good afternoon, Dr.
Good afternoon, sir.
Yeah, I met you, I think it was last year, January, when you were in New York. I bought that book from you, Something Queer is Happening in America. I'm also a pastor, and I have a particular view on this issue. First of all, I don't think it's the kind of issue that we could really discuss in a one shoe. Because mm-hmm. there's so, like you said, there's so many parts to the body. There's so many things that contribute. There's so many things that contribute to these situations. But even though there's the body, there's still a thing called the head that controls the entire body, the brain that controls the entire body. So the rest might be little things. One of the questions that I was asking, because I also teach at a school, I also teach at a seminary, and one of the things that I was asking one of the students, I said, tell me something. Do you realize there's a root cause for the problems that we are actually getting today in this country? Before God was kicked out of the schools, did we have any school shootings? When we say to each other, we will pray for you, who are you praying to? You don't believe in God, but yet when we have these, and I'm not trying to minimize it, understand me. I understand the seriousness of this issue. But when we all now so casually say, oh, we'll meet, we'll have a prayer vigil, who are you praying to? The mm-hmm. God that you claim doesn't exist, the God that you don't want in the school, yet somehow he is responsible when evil takes place. Now, if you don't have a God, then you don't have evil. You understand what I'm trying to show you?
Absolutely, sir.
That this is a bigger issue than just gun control. Because the person that mentioned on the news this morning that if the teacher had automatic weapon, you see, I happen to be an ex-retired captain from the military. I was also trained in the Citizens Academy through New York City Police Department. So I have some background in the military in these types of problems. And what I'm trying to put together here is to say, look, we cannot hide our heads in the sand. This whole issue comes down to a matter of good and evil, right and wrong, good and bad. And unless we can recognize that we have to first recognize there's a God, let's look at how it's happening. We had the problem recently, which is totally politically incorrect. We're murdering babies and we call it one thing. Now the children are being shot. What I'm saying is that the devil, whom we all overlook, who we completely forget, is having a field day today because mm-hmm. he's able to target the whole nation now since we feel he doesn't even exist. Because we came from monkey and all of that, then we don't need a God. So since he doesn't exist, he's free to do what he wants. Yet somehow we find comfort in turning to God. That's the time when we realize we have a God that truly loves us. And I think that we shouldn't only recognize that when we have these tragedies, but we should allow people to be able to have that prayer in school. I'm not even saying what religion you must belong to. I'm saying first start by recognizing that there's a God.
Yeah.
And a God who cares for us. And
you know,
start from that premise.
You know, Michael, I appreciate your articulate and passionate comments, especially given the background and what you're currently involved in. I've been on the radio daily now for what, 4.5 years, and this is actually my first discussion about gun control. So yes, the issues are much, much larger. This is something that it's right to discuss, right to talk about, without a doubt, and we need to. But the issues are so, so much larger. And America in so, so many ways especially when you think of the violence in our culture, the violence in media, the violence in movies, the violence in video games, the graphic nature of it, the glorifying of it. And then you're right, we deny that Satan exists and then put out all these satanic games and satanic movies while denying his existence. Our turning from God, our opening ourselves up to the enemy, to sin, they are ultimately the reasons for these horrific, horrific acts. And what we've got to do is use these tragedies to turn people back to God in a true way, not just somebody to help them during a time of tragedy, but as to the one that we need 24/7, even on our best day ever. All right, we'll be back with more of your calls. Stay tuned.
Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us, friends, on the Line of Fire broadcast, 866-348-7884. In the aftermath of the Newtown massacre, we are discussing lots of spiritually related issues and the gun control debate as well. Here's what Congressman Louis Gohmert had to say.
After the movie theater shooting that we've referred to in July in Aurora, Colorado, you said that what we need is more people carrying weapons so that if a shooter comes into a movie theater with a gun, somebody can stand up and defend him and defend other people. Question, and this is the question, Dick Durbin, do we really want folks in movie theaters and shopping malls and schools armed?
Once we have this actually open dialogue about the situation, Chris, you find out that, and John Lott's done some great investigation and study into this, every mass killing of more than three people in recent history has been in a place where guns were prohibited. These gunmen, except for one, they choose this place. They know no one will be armed. You know, having been a judge and having reviewed photographs of these horrific scenes and knowing that children have these defensive wounds, gunshots through their arms and hands as they try to protect themselves, and hearing the heroic stories of the principal lunging, trying to protect Chris. I wish to God she had had an M4 in her office locked up, so when she heard gunfire, she pulls it out, and she didn't have to lunge heroically with nothing in her hands, but she takes him out, takes his head off before he can kill those precious kids.
Now, if you missed it, friends, earlier in the broadcast, a policeman from New Jersey called me and told me that he and the great majority of the fellow officers he's spoken with are not concerned about guns. They would probably like more citizens to have guns to help fight against crime in the case where lives were being threatened. So Doug Giles, conservative Christian commentator on townhall.com, says, imagine if at least one teacher with a concealed weapons permit had their 40 caliber Glock with them locked and loaded when this weed Adam Lanza began his murderous mayhem Friday on the Sandy Hook Elementary School campus. What would have happened differently? So is more guns in the right hands the right solution? Or do we need to reevaluate who gets guns and how? Or is that really not what we should focus on? My friend Bishop Joe Matera in Brooklyn writes an article, Why Guns Are Not to Blame for the Newtown School Massacre. We put a link to that on our website, AskDrBrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. Back to your calls. Benjamin in Woodbridge, Virginia, thank you for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes. Hello.
Go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Yeah. You know, this issue, as I see, is more bigger than it is, than what we all see. It's much more bigger. It's a worldwide thing. It's not only in America. It's a worldwide. It's all about where it starts. I believe it's all about politics and all about money. Like, for me, it's a big shock to me to know that United States doesn't have prayer in school. The first time I get into this country, it was a big shock to me because the United States, the United Kingdom, they all taking missionaries to our own countries, which you, I think the so-called third world. They taking missionaries to teach us in school. They go into our schools, taking prayers and teaching us how to pray. Though I was born Christian there, we had it, but they keep on sending missionaries there, teaching people, going from villages to village, teaching people. Then in America, there's no prayer in school. You know, it's a big shock to me. You know, and
yeah, you know what's interesting, Benjamin? That I've talked to other folks who came over from other countries. Some friends from Romania, I remember them telling me when they got to America, they thought this was the country that said, "In God we trust." This was the country where they expected in the public schools to see prayer and worship and all of that, and were shocked to see the condition that. Then they went to the churches, and they were shocked to see the condition of the churches. Yeah, Benjamin, we need awakening beginning in the church, and from there going over to our culture. Hey, friends. Stay on the line. I'm going to get to calls after the next break, so stay with us. Linda in Newark, New Jersey. We're a little short on time, but please join in. Yeah, Linda, you need to turn your radio down there.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, I'm all for gun control because we have too many innocent people getting killed out here. Also, when you find that people have guns in their homes or just the average citizen, they're not trained to discern when to use the gun. And so therefore, I don't believe, unless you're in law enforcement or some sort of other FBI or some other area, you should not have a gun.
God, hey, Linda, yeah, I appreciate you weighing in, and certainly you speak for many others. Of course, someone would raise the question, how many casualties do you actually hear of where just someone who owns a weapon, they have a legal permit to have this weapon, how many issues do you actually have with them just going out and using it to kill someone? I guess the thought would be that if they did use it wrongly, they could be guilty of murder or manslaughter, and that may be what holds them back. But Linda, thank you for weighing in. I appreciate it. I know living in Newark, where there's a good amount of violence, that you'd have this perspective. All right, friends. No time for more calls, but I'm continuing this discussion on the other side of the break. So hang in there. I want to get to as many calls as possible. And according to Joe Matera, the horrific tragedy that unfolded in Newtown, Connecticut, is merely the latest manifestation of a larger problem that the media and political leaders will not touch with a 10-foot pole. The increasing secularization and subsequent dehumanization that comes when a nation moves away from the Judeo-Christian worldview. Yes, I concur. It doesn't mean we don't have discussion about our current gun control laws. It means that's secondary to the larger issues. The problem of suffering is not going away. You need to be equipped how to answer the objections, the attacks. Where was God? How can a good God create a world with so much suffering and pain? Take advantage of today's special resource offer. Not only is it a good deal, but it's tremendously helpful. My two-hour debate with agnostic professor Bart Ehrman, does the Bible provide an adequate answer to the problem of suffering, along with a special audio message that I preached on God and the problem of suffering. So a DVD to watch and a CD to listen to in your car or on your computer. $15 postage paid for both resources. 1-800-278-9978. Take advantage of this. Get multiple copies. 1-800-278-9978. Or go to my website, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. Excuse me, click on the online bookstore. 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, the gun control debate should take place, and we should examine aspects of our laws, but that is not the problem. That is not the primary reason that we had a massacre in Newtown, Connecticut. The issues are far deeper. Well, I've got some more thoughts on the massacre in Newtown from Mike Huckabee's comments to the pain of God, to the gun control debate.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We are continuing to discuss, in a redemptive way, in a constructive way, thoughts in the aftermath of the horrific massacre in Newtown, Connecticut, last Friday. Michael Brown, welcome back to The Line of Fire. We are in the midst of a debate about gun control laws and the larger causes of the shootings. We're going to continue that debate, so if you want to weigh in on that, we'll be going to the phones very quickly in this second hour of broadcasting. As always, you can catch the previous hour just a few hours after the show. Everything is uploaded to our website. You can also subscribe by podcast. Just go to askdrbrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. There is a tremendous outcry right now from many, many, many different quarters saying we must do something about gun control. We must address the rampant availability of weapons with all types of ammunition available where someone can shoot hundreds and hundreds of rounds. Others are saying that is absolutely not the problem. That's absolutely not the issue. And the worst thing we can do is take guns away from people that could stop a crime if they had guns with them. We will continue that discussion. I want to weigh in on some larger issues first. I spoke this morning at the chapel service for Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, and it's the third time I was there in the last 2 months, so a privilege and joy to speak to about 300 staff members at their 8 a.m. morning devotions. And I closed by saying this, that this tragedy is not going to leave American memory, American psyche that quickly. The fact that games over the weekend were recognizing the horrible crimes. For example, the Miami Heat, they played a game, a basketball game, and not only did they start the game with a recognition, this was Saturday, not only did they start the game with a recognition of the horrible crimes that had taken place and the terrible loss of lives, some of the players had their kids out on the court with them at the beginning before the game started. They had their kids out to make a statement of what really matters and to memorialize the little children, the 6 and 7 year olds who were slain. And some of them said, yeah, we feel miserable just even, you know, playing a game. It's just a game. What matters is family. Family's got to come first. The beginning of NFL games on Sunday all started with a moment of silence. The New York Giants, for example, wrote the initials SHE, Sandy Hook Elementary, on their helmets and wore those during the games against the Atlanta Falcons. New England Patriots, again, being in the New England area near Connecticut, started their game with 26 flares being shot out for the 26 victims of the mass murder. I know that American consciences are pretty hardened. I know that we have gotten used to all types of violence and atrocity, but this one goes so far beyond what we've seen. It reminds me of the slaughter of the children, the Amish children. To me, it's the thing that's closest to this in terms of the shocking nature of violence against little ones. My hope is that this is going to stay before us. Certainly, the agony of the parents and families is with them for years and years to come, and really for a lifetime, although God can, as other previous family victims have said, you will smile again one day. They've said, yeah, our kid was killed in a high school or in this setting, and the agony is there, but you will smile again one day. But certainly this is born for the rest of their lives. But my hope is that here in America, we will not so quickly forget this, and that we as believers can constantly say, we need to turn to God. Look at what our country has become. Look at the things that are happening. We need to turn to God. We need to turn to God.
Cleansing flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire, 866-348-7884. Please take a few minutes to read my article entitled The Newtown Massacre and the Pain of God. How God hurts in the midst of this, and God is grieved over the slaughter of the little ones and the adults as well. How God is grieved over the slaughter of the unborn on a daily basis. I don't focus on that in the article, but I do speak of the pain that God suffers on a daily basis. You say, well, why would God suffer pain? He created the world. He is the King, the Lord. If he didn't want it a certain way, he wouldn't have created it. Well, it's not that simple. Even if he desired a certain outcome, it doesn't mean that there won't be pain in the process of getting to that outcome. You see, I learned in theological school and seminary that God is impassible, not impossible, but impassible, meaning that he is always the same in terms of what we would call his emotions, that there's neither joy nor grief, anger, patience. These words, when applied to God, have an entirely different meaning because he's utterly unchangeable in terms of his emotional life. And again, we use emotional life as a human term to describe God. I don't agree with that position. I don't agree that God is impassible based on Scripture and based on the fact that we're created in his image and based on what Basilea Schlink said, godly German Christian leader who died in 2001. She said, anyone who loves as much as God does cannot help suffering. And anyone who really loves God will sense that he is suffering. 866-348-7884. Later in the broadcast, I'm going to replay some quotes from Governor Mike Huckabee. But is there hypocrisy when you have, say, many in the entertainment industry being very liberal, many in the entertainment industry, the Hollywood complex, being very much for gun control, very much opposed to the NRA, and yet at the same time, many of the movies they put out, many of the TV shows they put out are absolutely violence-saturated, violence-filled. You read stats about how many violent acts children are exposed to in the course of their lives. You read stats on just, I mean, mind-boggling on how many violent acts they'll watch on TV and movies, and then what are they exposed to in video games? We really need to do a whole show on that. And then the instability of the larger culture, and as Mike Huckabee says, the escorting God out of our culture in so many different ways, should we expect to see anything less than horrific acts like this? Or is gun control a major issue that we need to focus on? Bishop Joe Matera, writing from New York, says, well, I agree with Mayor Bloomberg that we need to do psychological evaluation and better background checks and tighten the laws so that the wrong people do not have as much access to guns. And he notes when the Constitution and the Second Amendment were written, our nation had a Christian worldview because a republic has to assume morality and virtue to order fully work. He says, I also believe blaming guns would be to skirt the deeper issues the humanists don't want to touch. That is, blaming guns for this and other tragedies like Columbine and Virginia Tech massacres would be like blaming automobiles for the thousands of deaths that occur every year due to accidents on highways and streets. He says, I pray that this tragedy will cause the nation's cultural gatekeepers to turn to God again as our only hope. I pray that the church will have a mighty revival that results in reformation so that the image of God will once again become the meta-narrative that frames our public policy and restores destiny and identity to our generation. 866-34-TRUTH. Back to the phones. Edward in East Quogue, New York. Thanks for holding. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
My deepest condolences for the families of the victims. I just wanted to say that I think the main issue here is that we're not addressing faith and family. Like, the faith and family of the victim, there has always been warning signs with this. Mm-hmm. And you can't keep someone away from getting a weapon if they choose to get one. They'll find means of getting weapons, no matter what gun control laws are put into place. But I think the main thing is that communication has broken down so bad that I've seen people in the same house texting one another. People don't talk to each other anymore, and I think that that's a huge issue.
How about sitting next to each other, texting each other? Right, so just the general breakdown of family life is just a normal communication, interaction. Yeah, just larger issues. I mean, we have a lot of massive needs in America, and a tragedy like this just underscores how massive they are. You're absolutely right.
I feel that by them blaming guns, it totally takes away from the real issue of nobody communicates. Morals can't be taught in school. Religion can't be taught in school. These are the moral foundation that people base their whole ethical life on. Yep. And if you take that away from a child, it's the blind leading the blind, and it's just going to get worse.
Yep. I agree with you. Hey, Edward, thank you, sir, for weighing in. I appreciate it. 866-348-7884. John in Miami, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello, how you doing?
Doing well, thanks.
Yes, I'm going to give you a little background to start with. I'm from a small country from the Caribbean.
Yeah.
And I came here, I was 17, so I've been here 30 years. I'm about 47. I was born in a small town, the second city actually, which had only 120,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
And out of my 17 years in that country, I could only remember probably two or three people being killed, and it wasn't with a gun. It was with a knife. Now, one thing that I learned when I was there is the greatest protection that we had is because weapons, when it comes to guns, it was only in the hand of the army or the police. Those are the two things.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me tell you this. This is a great philosopher said this, a French philosopher. Men were born good, but society corrupt them. Now, when it comes to the subject that we are dealing with today, and let me tell you that constitutions were made by men, but not by God. Meaning that they are not absolute and they are infallible. So if we as men, we could control our thoughts and the things that we do, eventually we could also control the way guns are circulated in this country. Now, if you were to take a poll among women in this country, you would probably see at any time, not because of the tragedy, but at any time, 80% of those women would be against having gun on the street or having gun at all. They would probably would not care about abolishing the Second Amendment in the Constitution.
Now, right, so you're saying, John, just to jump in quick. So you're saying there's a different mentality among the women than among the men, and that can play into the gun issue as well. Changing the mentality would change use of guns. Hey, I appreciate it. Just want to get to some other callers. John in Houston, Texas, thanks for joining the Line of Fire.
Hello, Dr. Brown. Hello. Thank you for letting me weigh in on this.
You're welcome.
I have called once before, back when there was the shooting at the movie theater.
Yeah.
And I made the point, I believe, that at 62 years old, I'm also, by the way, a dad of six. This
mm-hmm.
tragedy just cut my heart in half. I have to say this. But I do believe that the gun control doesn't work. It never has. In my generation, we had access to more guns than the current generation. In high school, I graduated in 1969. So many of us were hunters. We had recreational shooters. It was the culture of the time. But we never shot anybody. We had arguments. We had disagreements. Some of them pretty emphatic. But no one would even have thought of it. Even the guys that we considered to be punks, that was our term.
Yeah.
They didn't shoot somebody. Now, there would be a knifing, there would be some beatings, but it never happened. And it's not the gun at all. The point I made then, I feel all the more strongly now, is that we prayed during school. We prayed at football games. We prayed at school events. And there were certainly people then that did not believe in God. They were atheistic, but we didn't make them pray. But as a whole, I do believe that we honored God in our nation. We honored God in our schools, and there weren't any of these kind of shootings, these kind of terrible events. And I have to agree with what Governor Huckabee said. you know, that it's really a lack of God in our own culture. And whenever you move away, I believe, whenever we distance ourselves from the God of truth and life, I think we're promoting a growth of a culture of lies and of death, and it just falls into place, as horrific as it is.
Yeah.
On the subject of assault weapons, they weren't used in this terrible tragedy, but I have seen assault weapons back during Hurricane Katrina. Being on the Gulf Coast, we have these terrible hurricanes from time to time.
And hey, John, just got to jump in because we got a break. But thank you, sir, for weighing in with your comments. Very relevant, very needed, very pointed. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us on the Line of Fire, friends. Michael Brown here, blessed to be with you as we continue to discuss in a redemptive way the tragedy that took place in Newtown, Connecticut, and one that my hope is that good can come out of this evil. And that life can come out of death. No, that does not replace the children who've been stolen from their families and the other loved ones who've been stolen from their families. It does not minimize that, but it's to say that God is a redeemer. It's to say that God can bring life out of death, that God can bring beauty out of ashes. And to me, something that we can constantly point to is how messed up our society is. You say, but this is just one event. Well, it's not just one event. It's one of many. It's the most horrific that we've seen in terms of the slaughter of 6- and 7-year-old kids. I mean, still, it's unimaginable. And these kids shot 9, 10, 11 times. Again, who can possibly conceive of this? These are kids that are at home with a teddy bear. But my hope is that this is a way for us to say, friends, we need to turn back to God. Our nation is in desperate shape away from God. These are the things that happen when we fall away from God, and we need to repent and turn back to Him. 866-348-7884. So while I welcome the discussion about gun control, and while I welcome specific suggestions that could be brought forth in a helpful and positive way, I'm convinced that that is not the biggest issue that we have, because we've had guns around for a long time, and yet we have not had this level of atrocity year in, year out now, as we've had for a couple of decades plus. We have not had that as part of our heritage and history on this level. Now, let's just think of this. It takes an extreme situation for someone to do what they did. And we only can imagine how much God restrains more from taking place. But what we do know is acts like this on this level are extremely rare. But if you understand that the way that our society is going and the breakdown of the family and the breakdown, as one of our callers mentioned, of communication and relationship within the family, and the depersonalizing of society, and then our violence-soaked culture, and on and on and on, that when you see all of that, and then you recognize, okay, that if you've got 1 out of 1,000, 1 out of 10,000, 1 out of 100,000 who can just be pushed a little further to certain acts, then that's all it takes. In other words, we have the ingredients for much more disaster. And less fear of God, and less consciousness of God, and more ability for Satan to act and for human beings to commit atrocities. We need to get on our knees and get on our faces and say, God, bring awakening, starting with the church. 866-348-7884. I was going to talk to Edna in Charlotte, on the backyard here, but we lost Edna. John in Tampa, Florida, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, doctor. Yeah, just I was born in Connecticut and was raised in the Hartford area. My sister is still up there. Yeah, it's just very sad. But it seems like the floodgates of evil have been opened. I just, you know, these things just never took place growing up. You know, these atrocities. I don't know. I just, Christ's teachings are so countercultural that, you know, sometimes they're hard to grasp. You know, he didn't say, take up your Smith and Wesson and follow me. He said, take up your cross.
You know, John, I know that there are many, many Christians in the military, and they feel it is a sacred duty to give themselves to defense of our country. And I admire that and appreciate it. I know many of these people firsthand, and they're devoted to the Lord. At the same time, I don't see, in terms of general cultural mentality, following Jesus and carrying a concealed weapon as going hand in hand. I'm not saying it's wrong. I have friends that carry concealed weapons, and you'd never know it, but I know it because they mention it to me. And yet there is some type of culture that associates these two things, conservative Christianity and the National Rifle Association. I don't see that association. I don't see it as in any way a natural union. At the same time, I do fully recognize that we've had guns in our culture from the beginning of our culture, and we have not had these types of atrocities, even if you get away from the fact that we have weapons now that can take out large numbers of people in a short period of time that did not exist previously in our culture. Still, the sickness, the wounds, the sin of our culture is much, much deeper. And if we focus on gun control, we make a mistake. It is not to say that gun control should not be discussed. It is not to say that there aren't things that could be tightened up. It is not to say that all weapons should be made available as easily as they are, and I'm no expert on this. It is simply to say that this cannot be made out to be the root cause. And perhaps someone sick enough to come with multiple weapons to an elementary school is also sick enough without guns to rig a school to blow up. Remember the murderer in Aurora, Colorado, the movie theater murder during the Batman movie, that he had his own apartment rigged so whoever went in there would get killed. Police understood before going in there, so they had to proceed with caution, and the whole thing had to be defused, the bombs, whatever the right term is. Sorry, it escapes my mind at the moment. All that to say, we need awakening. Yeah, I've been preaching that for decades, but we need it more deeply than ever, and it's becoming more and more clear that we need it more deeply. We come back, I want to talk about the interfaith service last night. I want to play a clip again from Mike Huckabee, and want to highly commend to you our resource offer for this week. We wanted to make it as practical as we could. Do you know how to answer questions about the problem of suffering? And why? Where was God? Well, we've put together an inexpensive resource package, my two-hour debate with Professor Bart Ehrman on DVD. You watch this with your friends. It will answer your questions and help equip you. And then an audio message on CD to listen to in your car or on your computer about the problem of suffering. Both resources, just $15, postage paid. So it's a good savings, but better still, it's a great resource. Understand how to answer these difficult questions. Share them with your friends. 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Or go to askdrbrown.org and click on the online bookstore. One more time, 1-800-278-9978.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution.
Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you so much, friends, for tuning in today on the Line of Fire broadcast. Michael Brown, so delighted to have this opportunity to talk with you. You know, in years past, before I had the ability to be on the radio, write articles, post them on internet, I'd have things burning in me that I wanted to get out, and you can only get them out to a more limited number of people. So I take this as a sacred opportunity to share this time together with you, not just for me to shoot the breeze or talk about whatever's off the top of my head, just throw out some airheaded opinion. No, these are things prayerfully considered. These are things that are often based on many years of meditation and scripture or relevant issues. And we continue to talk today about redemptive thoughts, constructive thoughts, ways forward after the massacre in Connecticut. 866-348-7884. There are links to a number of important articles, some on the issue of gun control, more on the larger issues of what took place in Newtown, Connecticut. And my article that came out this morning, I wrote it yesterday afternoon, and came out this morning, The Newtown Massacre and the Pain of God. These are all linked on my website, askdrbrown.org. Just click on the Line of Fire for today's broadcast. Or if you just want to read the article that I wrote about God's pain in the midst of these atrocities and his redemptive way forward, then just go to charismanews.com and click on opinion. Let's listen again to what Governor Mike Huckabee had to say in terms of the larger issues of us pushing God out of our culture.
On Friday, Neil Cavuto asked me, where was God? And I said that for 50 years, we've systematically attempted to have God removed from our schools, our public activities, but then at the moment we have a calamity, we wonder where he was. Well, the predictable left lit up the airwaves and blogosphere with a vile and vicious reaction and jumped to the conclusion that I said that if we had prayer in school, the shooting wouldn't have happened. Well, I said nothing of the sort. It's far more than just taking prayer or Bible reading out of the schools. It's the fact that people sue a city so we aren't confronted with a manger scene or a Christmas carol, that lawsuits are filed to remove a cross that's a memorial to fallen soldiers, churches and Christian-owned businesses are told to surrender their values under the edict of government orders to provide tax-funded abortion pills. We carefully and intentionally stop saying things are sinful, and we call them disorders. Sometimes we even say they're normal. And to get to where that we have to abandon bedrock moral truths, then we are asked, well, where was God? And I respond that as I see it, we've escorted him right out of our culture and we've marched him off the public square. And then we express our surprise that a culture without him actually reflects what it's become.
You know, I'm looking at responses on the Friendly Atheist blog, and he's very upset with these comments. He says, oh, at the end of this, this isn't just some random guy. Huckabee is a talk show host on a top-rated cable channel, a popular conservative Christian leader, and a man who could have been president if we lost our senses. He represents what millions of Americans think and feel. It's horrifying. Well, it's horrifying because he's right. It's horrifying because it's true. It's horrifying because we have sought to escort God from our culture and found the very concept of God to be offensive. And regardless of whether you like Christmas or not, the fact of the matter is that you've got billboards now in Times Square in New York City saying this is just a myth. It's got a picture of Jesus hanging on the cross and just get rid of the myth. Well, we want to get rid of God, and then we ask him why certain things are happening or where was he when they happened. That's like someone deciding they're going to drink, do drugs, get violent, end up in prison and say, God, where were you? He was there saying, don't do it. Don't do it or you'll destroy yourself. We'll be back with your calls.
Cleansing flame, send the fire. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire broadcast. Again, I encourage you to read my article on the Newtown Massacre and the pain of God. It's linked at my website, askdrbrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. You'll find links to other important articles there, including the situation in Israel. My friend Ron Cantor addressing the question, are Israeli teachers armed, based on a picture that circulated widely on Facebook and other places that implied that they were armed. In fact, they're not. The teachers are not armed, but the schools are fenced and protected with security. 866-348-7884. The question of gun control obviously was going to come up. It's come up with an intensity that is not surprising given the nature of the crimes and the nature of the victims. My contention is, although I do not have a larger axe to grind about gun control in general, in other words, I'm not a member of the NRA, I don't own a gun, I can't see myself owning a gun. One of my family members, a son-in-law, is a hunter, so he has a different relationship with guns than I do. I have no axe to grind on the larger question of gun control. Again, I'm not a card-carrying member of the NRA. My axe to grind is that the gun control issue is quite secondary to the larger issues in our society. Before I go to the phones, let me say that watching the interfaith service last night, you realize the memorial service in Newtown, you realize that these people from denominations that don't even look at God's word as God's word anymore, or are so nebulous and ambivalent about who God is, that they're going to do their best, and they may be decent people in terms of trying to help, but obviously you're not going to connect to God and bring a message from God. And I understand it's interfaith, so everybody's got to say their part. I don't know how many Baha'i people there were among the victims or Muslims among the victims, but each of the faiths was represented. I understand that. And some of what different individuals had to say was nice. Some people seem to know the Lord and pray accordingly. And Nancy and I, watching it, were talking about what an agonizing day it must have been for the president. Can you imagine meeting with all those families? And then he got up and spoke, and I think in many ways did his best. And I'm sure the parents were deeply, deeply moved by his presence. And yet he's not a pastor. He's not a spiritual leader. And there was the absence. So I'm not faulting him for that. It was good that he was there and he did his best. To the extent that it was a tacit push for gun control, let's put that as an aside, because I'm not here to be critical of the president in this situation. But there was the absence of that note of faith. There was the absence of the note of a Billy Graham-like figure who brought a message of hope and faith in the midst of this and pointed people to Jesus in a real way. And it was noticeable. As I spoke this morning at Billy Graham Evangelistic Association chapel service to about 300 of their staff, I brought up that very point. All right, back to this discussion about gun control and the shootings in Newtown. Let's start with Grace in St. Petersburg, Florida. Thank you for calling The Line of Fire.
Thank you very much for having me on this afternoon. Sir, I have this to say. It seems that guns are a part of the history, our history that used them. And I don't think gun control is the issue. It's criminal control, because any law-abiding citizen will obey the law. And the Second Amendment does give them right to have guns to protect themselves in case there are some impending intruders coming in to do them harm. I believe it is the criminal who needs to be controlled. If you take the gun away from society, don't forget the criminal. He can use anything to commit large-scale massacre if he wants to without a gun. So we really need to think about controlling the criminal, do something with him.
Right. So the question, of course, Grace, would be when someone with no criminal record then goes to commit these atrocities, as happened with Adam Lanza on Friday. But again, your point well taken. I appreciate the call. Thank you very much. 866-348-7884. Susan in Las Vegas, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Thank you for taking my call. I have not heard anyone discuss the fact that the gunman's aunt said that both she and the gunman's mother were very much into these end-time prepper programs that we see on TV, and they seem to give the impression that we can somehow put off the inevitable of the end times by arming ourselves with weapons. And the fact
You know, Susan, I don't think it's quite the idea about end times. Is in other words, they weren't following the Mayan calendar or looking for some end of the world this month as much as thinking that there was going to be a terrible, from reports I read, again, it's second, third hand, but that they were expecting a terrible collapse in the economy. And in other words, not necessarily the end of the world, but a terrible crisis in America, in which case you'd need to be stockpiling food. And if you're stockpiling food, you need to stockpile weapons to protect yourselves and so on. Apparently that was part of the issue. The fact is, though, the reports are still a little distant. I don't know that it's 100% confirmed. I don't know. Maybe it's out. I haven't seen it today. I've been on the run all day. But I don't know if they've said we found at the house that there was massive stockpiles of food and things like that to confirm it. But,
well,
but it is.
I'm specifically referring to a news interview that I saw with the aunt and heard with the aunt, who said she felt like she needed these weapons in the home because they were so much into this end-time prepper business. And I'm sure that...
I saw that as well.
That combined with the fact that we see a lot in some of the Christian end-time movies, a lot of them mostly, that they seem to give the impression that the inevitable can be changed or delayed or in some respect. I've seen so many movies where they give such a positive outcome, even through what they call the tribulation after the rapture. And it's just really fantasy world. It's not scripture at all.
Yeah, but here's the other thing, Susan. That's the interview I did read online, and it's still the aunt. So that's what I'm saying. I don't know that we have further confirmation. And I didn't understand it in terms of end times as much as an economic collapse. But here's the bigger thing to me. I've been hearing about what's going to happen with the end times any minute since 1971. I don't think that's the way we should be thinking. We should be living, understanding that Jesus said in John 16, in this world you'll have tribulation. In other words, there's always going to be tribulation testing. There's always going to be attack of the devil. 1 Peter 5:8-9, be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same types of sufferings are being experienced by your brothers and sisters in the world. There is a devil who's on the attack. There will be tribulation and testing. God is our refuge. And I'm not living with the thought that any day we're entering this unique tribulation, as much as saying there's tribulation, testing, difficulty, God remains our refuge, not stockpiling food. But thank you for the call. It is relevant. I appreciate it. Jan in Tampa, Florida, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Brown. Dr. Brown, I want to identify myself as part of the medical community, and I'm certainly not anti-medication, but I think there's something that we're talking about the guns, and we're not talking about either recreational drugs or prescribed drugs that these young men that commit these heinous crimes are on, and now 5-year-old, 6-, 7-year-old children. I'm just so upset about it. But at any rate, he has been marked, and he had been watched by, he was appointed a psychologist or a psychiatrist, I'm not sure which one. But I'd like to know what this kid was on, both recreational and prescribed.
Yeah.
They have to be monitored very, very carefully. We know that psychosis can be part of an unwanted side effect, and there's got to be other ways. And as I said, I'm not anti-medication, but we better not stop other types of therapy and just wisdom.
Let me ask you this, Jan, and we may have to just hold this call through the break. First, what do you actually do in the medical profession?
Hospice nurse. I'm retired now. I just retired last year.
All right. Well, boy, what a profession that is, though. Something else I can't imagine.
Yeah,
the life
it's been
you lived
a wonderful calling that God can give you grace for.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, I'm sure he can, and I'm sure it is a wonderful calling.
Yeah.
But just want to come back to this on the other side of the break, and Dennis Shirley, stay with us. I'm going to try to get to your calls as well. But someone brought this up in the first hour, the question of kids on medication. I know there are valid reasons for it in certain cases, but why are our kids so medicated now compared to a generation ago? And why are we diagnosing so many conditions among our kids? Do we just discover them, or are other things causing them?
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. We're talking about insights, reflections, constructive, redemptive things that we can take away from the tragedy in Newtown, Connecticut as believers. One of the consistent themes that I have been pushing, well, for years, but especially Friday and today, is that in the light of such horrific acts in America, when so many are saying, what's wrong with us? How could this happen? We need to be pointing to the larger issue. We need God. We need God. We need God. We need awakening, not just in a temporary fix way or to help us because we're in trauma, but the absence of God is the great cause of these tragedies in America. We're also talking about gun control debate because that's front and center these days after this tragedy. And my contention is it's fine to discuss gun control. It's fine to discuss do we need more thorough background checks, people with mental disorders, other things like that? Do we need to limit certain weapons? And I'm no expert in this at all, but my major point is that that's not the big problem, that's not where our focus should be. Even if there's some discussion of it, that's not where the focus needs to be. That'll be putting a Band-Aid on the wrong place. So I was talking to Jan, actually a suburb outside of Tampa, in the medical profession, and you were talking about how we need to track people who are on medication, who are under psychiatric care, like Adam Lanza, like the murderer in Aurora, Colorado. But here's my question for you, Jan. And this is not to condemn parents whose kids are medicated. I understand that medication can be helpful in certain cases and is called for in certain cases. But why is it now that we have kids diagnosed, say so many more diagnosed with autism or ADHD, and in some cases very, very severe? Parents of an autistic kid, severely autistic kid, emailed me just to tell me how traumatic it is, what they have to deal with on a daily basis. But were these things just in our society and hidden before? Why is it that we have such an increase in them today? Do you have any thoughts on that at all, Jan?
Yeah, it's a little bit of a far-out thought, but I think physical activity, you know, we were in an agrarian society, and I think that people worked hard, men worked hard, especially boys. I never had the privilege of having a daughter, but I have a lot of sons, and they did better with physical activity. And I know it was my experience growing up in a community where when we came home from school, we had a snack, and we lived up north, and we were out of the house playing. Son, you know, rain or shine, we were out kicking a ball and riding a bike and a lot of physical activity. And I think it just does something to our brains. That's like I said, I can't prove that. It's just my
gut understand.
Feeling.
Well, there's no question that other issues, say obesity and things like that, tie in with that. And we don't know what's happened with the disconnect between communication and normal, you know, just if you sit for hours in front of a screen and playing video games, or the dehumanizing of people just through texting and no longer face-to-face interaction, relationship, what effects those have. So I don't doubt that there's something negative that comes out of the lack of physical activity and personal interaction.
Communication, that's right.
Right, but where that factors in on these larger issues, it's a question I have no answer to. All right, Jan, thank you for the call, and may the Lord continue to use you. Let's go quickly to Shirley in Atlanta. We're a little short on time, but go ahead, weigh in. Yeah, God bless you. Thank you.
A little girl told me one time her friend at school had made this name of Honey Christmas, to incorporate Hanukkah with Christmas. I thought that was so neat. Jesus loved that, I'm sure. Let me just say this. I think that, you know, the parents, some of them will try to sue the school. And we will allow a lawsuit to go forth because the company or organization couldn't protect our people. But we won't allow the organization we prohibit the organizations from safety in the school, from guns in the school. I think it should be a crime not to defend oneself, one's family, one's property. It should be a crime because it's unconstitutional.
So what was the solution at the school? Should the school have had armed security guard or armed teachers?
Simple. Yes. Let me give you a personal example. I have, for years and years, I would go downtown, early morning, open an office. Come on. Downtown Atlanta, open an office, and there's nobody around. You can echo your voice all over the place. But I guarantee you there were boogers in the corner somewhere looking, and I carried a gun. It was after the light came on, you know, I better put a gun on the dash, and that's what I did. And let me tell you, you're called all kinds of things I can't say on this program. But it's music to your ears because all of a sudden they know you are not playing. And so people, you know, come on. I'm a woman. I don't think there's no woman alive who is crazy enough to live by herself or what have you in a big city. Or even, Newtown was a small city. But it just doesn't make any sense.
With strict gun control laws as well, and in past was the fifth safest city in America. Hey, Shirley,
yes,
it's always a delight to hear from you, but I'm out of time. I've got to run, but I wanted to make sure I grabbed your call before we were done. Shirley in Atlanta always has something to say with conviction and verve. So thank you for calling in. So sorry I can't get to any more calls, but please weigh in on my website, askdrbrown.org. And just click on the line of fire and go there today because I've linked my article on the Newtown Massacre and the Pain of God. I strongly encourage you to read it again. Just go to askdrbrown.org, click on the line of fire. I've linked that article and a number of other important articles. Take advantage of our special resource offer this week. We need to know how to answer questions. Where was God? What about suffering and evil? How could God be good and create a world with so much pain? We need to know how to answer these questions. We've put two resources together, reduced the price, $15 postage paid for my two-hour debate with Professor Bart Ehrman. Does the Bible provide an adequate answer to the problem of suffering at Ohio State University? And then a one-hour teaching on audio on God and the problem of suffering. So a CD you can listen to in your car or on your MP3 player, your computer. Together, $15 postage paid. They'll help you. You can give them to non-believers too. Call this number, 1-800-278-9978 to order. That's 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. Or go to my website, askdrbrown.org. And click on the online bookstore. My bottom line today, while the nation continues to reel in the aftermath of the Newtown tragedy, let us, as God's people, lead the way in a national movement back to God.